Praise the Lord.
Good to see everybody. Early, nice warm Sunday. You don't mind coming out when it's like this. Praise God. I just love the Lord and His presence. I just want to continue on what we've been ministering on, and that's the topic is their faith made them whole. And all we do is hook up where we left off. And I encourage you to get the CD if you didn't get the last Healing School CD, because it just ties in what we're ministering on now. So I just want to just reiterate some things. In the accounts in the gospel, there's 24 accounts where there's healing recorded. And out of those 24 accounts, there's 10 of them that Jesus makes the statement that faith made them whole. It's either directly or it's implied. And most individuals, when they're reading the Bible, don't actually realize these truths. And one of the key things out of the 10 was two individuals, he said that they had great faith. And out of the two, he said that they had great faith. It was based on statements that they made. For instance, the centurion made the statement, "I'm not worthy, Lord, that you come under my roof, but speak a word and my servant shall be healed." And Jesus marveled at what he said. And he went on to say that, "I understand authority, Jesus, because I say to this man, go, and he goes. This man, come, and he comes. And this one, do this, and he does it." So the centurion realized the authority that was in words and also the authority that Jesus had. And as a result of that declaration, healing was manifested in his servant. But it's interesting, the statement that was made. And when you study these two accounts out where there is statements that were made, Jesus associated great faith with those statements. So I want to continue along that line, and our foundation scripture is in Job 22, verses 28 through the 30th verse, and I'm reading from the Amplified, and it says here, "You shall also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you." I want us all to read that. Is that up there? "You shall also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you." You decide, you decree. And it goes on to say, "And the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. And when they make you low," that's evil spirits, the devil, or the world and the flesh, "when they make you low, you will say, there is a lifting up. And the humble person he lifts up and saves," or you could read it like this, "the humble person, he lifts up and heals." It's the same, the connotation's the same. This verse is what, when we're looking at these accounts, you'll see common threads in each one of these accounts that we've been studying. And it's important to recognize it, because it's the principle wherewith faith operates. And when you're teaching along this line, you can spend a lot of time on it, because the things that I found out in ministering to individuals, they have a hard time acknowledging or saying things. And it's the one of the things, when you're ministering, you have to get a person, you actually have to coach them in this, to get them to begin to operate in faith. And by doing so, the presence of God will begin to manifest in their lives and heal their bodies. Amen. Now, I wanted to share a testimony here that happened. This was years ago. It had a glorious result. It was an individual, when I was working with Ruth Fisher's ministry, we prayed for a man. And this actually happened down in Beaver Falls. And this individual had cancer. And this was the second time dealing with the cancer. The first time he was treated with chemo and radiation, he was fine for a while, it was in remission, and then all of a sudden it returns. So when it returned, he had a tumor under his one armpit the size of a lemon. Actually, it was shaped like a lemon. He had two tumors on his neck, about the size of two large marbles. So he come forth in one of Ruth Fisher's ministries. He comes up front, the church. Church is packed out. And he's bummed out, you know. And he basically says, you know, Ruth, I'm here for prayer. And Ruth says, but I believe this is your day to be healed. And he stands with his back towards the congregation. She reaches inside his suit coat and puts her hand on that tumor, has it in her hand. And as she's standing there, she turns to me and she says, Dan, pray. So I prayed a simple prayer. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we curse this cancer like you cursed the fig tree, Lord Jesus. We command it to dry up, be planted in the sea. And instantly it disappeared. And she's standing there and she says to the guy, it's gone. Now he says, now, Ruth, don't mess with me. You know how I've been through this once already, and this has basically devastated me. She says, it's gone. Well, he's standing there in basically in an argumentative mode, and she says, check yourself. So he checks. He can't find a tumor. So he starts coming unglued in front of the church. And actually, he started really praising God, and the whole church started rejoicing because he kept saying, I can't find it. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. So she says, now, go down to the men's room, take your shirt off, and some of you ushers go with them and check them out real good. So they go downstairs, check them out real good. They can't find any of the tumors. So he comes back up, and he starts rejoicing. Well, the whole church comes unglued. He's healed. Comes back. Goes to his doctors. Doctor gives him a clean bill of health. And I won't get into that part because that's a testimony in itself. But he comes back the next healing service, which was she held him about every month at the church. He gets up and testified. It's gone. We all rejoice. Well, about 2 years later, the church gets a call. He ends up moving. He goes down south somewhere. The church gets a call. Pray for him again. He has cancer again. And actually, he ended up going on to be with the Lord. But the point that I'm bringing out here is I'm going to tie this testimony in this lesson because it's vital. Because you can get something on somebody else's faith. And if you don't have the teaching how to keep your healing or just the subject of faith, it's the adversary is going to bring the same thing back on you. So it's vital that you understand these things. And as a minister, I mean, I take these things serious for the reason when you see somebody totally set free like that, then in a few years later, and the same thing coming back on him and actually taking his life, it saddens your heart. And I like something that Norville Hayes says, where you go to church could cost you your life because of a lack of understanding of God's word. And it's a profound statement that he made. Now I want to go to Mark 7 here. We'll start our lesson. Mark 7, verse 24 through the 30th verse. There's only like seven. We're going to read both counts. And this is about the Syrophoenician woman. Actually, pastor was ministered on it last Sunday about determined faith. I had this outline already prepared, and I said to him after the service, I says, it's amazing the things that you said were a lot of the things that the Spirit of God brought out to me in my message. And it just confirms hearing from the Holy Ghost. We'll start with verse 24. It says here, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Now she is the only one that ends up finding him in a certain house. There's nobody else recorded here that was seeking him but her. And in these studies, we're finding there's a common thread about people seeking Jesus, and all of them with their faith made them whole. There was an effort on the part of the individual. The individual didn't have to be coaxed or coached into moving towards the Lord. On their own initiative, move towards the Lord. And it says here that she heard and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek. Now the center reference column says she was a Gentile. She was in the world, but she was alienated from the covenant of promise. She wasn't a child of Abraham or of the Abraham's seed. She was a Gentile. She was a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet. Now the Amplified says this, for it's not proper or good to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. Now notice what Jesus is saying here. First, let the children, he's talking about Abraham's seed, the Israelites, let them first be filled. Now, as we continue to read, you'll find out he's referring to bread. And it's interesting here is he wants them to be filled with the bread from heaven. Now, this is important. Now, when we read the other account, you'll find out that some things are said in the other account that are not said in this account. And one of them is that Jesus says, I've been sent to minister to the lost sheep of Israel. In other words, that was his commission. Now, verse 28 says here, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Now, it's interesting that Jesus makes this statement for this saying. Now, Job 22:28 says, you shall decide and decree a thing. And what's interesting here is this statement arrested Jesus' attention. It's sort of like the centurion, when the centurion made his statement. These are the two accounts where Jesus makes mention of great faith. So what this woman said really struck Jesus. Now let's go to the account that's in Matthew 15:21. And we'll see some of the things that is said in this account is different than the other account. Verse 21 says, and Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now, the other account didn't say that she said this. And it's important when you're studying these accounts is to actually study whether it's two witnesses or three witnesses. It's called a parallel study, and compare what each writer is bringing out, because one writer might not bring out a truth that the other writer brings out. So not only, now it doesn't say anything about him being in a house, but the other account says he was in a house and she sought him out. And this account says, and when she did, she cried, have mercy on me, Lord Jesus. There's something about asking or crying unto the Lord for mercy. It stops him because he's full of compassion. He's full of compassion. Then verse 23 says, but he answered her not a word. Now, this is interesting. The other account didn't say that. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. I don't see any account of her crying after them. I don't know why they even made that statement. She was crying after him. Verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, here's that verse that's not recorded in the other account. Then came she and worshipped him. Now, in the other account, it doesn't say that. She cried out for mercy. She came, she persisted, and she worshipped him. These are common threads that you see, like with blind Bartimaeus, even when you see the centurion sent elders to get Jesus. There's that move towards him. And these are the things that sparks Jesus' attention. Then verse 25 says, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now the other verse, the other account doesn't say that. So you're getting bits and pieces from each writer. But within them are keys. Actually, a person who's sick can begin to cry out for mercy and say, Lord, help me. I need your mercy. And that'll get Jesus' attention. And sit there and worship him. And that's what she did here. And verse 26 says, but he answered and said, it is not meet or good or proper to take the children's bread. Now, the other account says about let the children be first filled. It's not mentioned in this account. But it says, it is not meet, good or proper to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Now, this statement was true. And as we continue to study, we'll see this in Scripture. She makes a statement. I don't know how she had this revelation. The Scripture says she heard of Jesus. I don't know if she sat in the crowds and heard sermon after sermon after sermon. It doesn't tell us that. But obviously, she had enough revelation to make statements that literally shook Jesus and arrested his attention. She say, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Because of statements she made, Jesus said, O woman, how great is your faith, and be it unto you even as you will. Based on statements. Jesus said in John's gospel, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what ye will, and it shall be established unto you. And I don't want to jump ahead, but that's being full or filled with the bread from heaven. And it says here, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, I want you to turn. In these statements, there's key words. There's dogs mentioned, there's tables mentioned, there's bread mentioned, and there's crumbs mentioned. And I believe you miss out on these accounts when you don't dissect the saying, because the saying arrested Jesus' attention. So what I like to do now is just go to Matthew 7:6, and you'll see why Jesus didn't answer her. Matthew 7:6. Now this is applying to dogs. We're gonna do a little searching through the scriptures about dogs within the scripture. Matthew 7:6 says this: give not that which is holy unto dogs. Now remember, Jesus didn't answer her when she made her statement. He's actually fulfilling his own statements here in Matthew 7:6. Neither cast your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rent you. The Amplified says this, lest they turn again and tear you in pieces. You ever minister somebody the word of God and they get mad at you and almost want to fight you over things and just making, and all you're doing is making statements from the word of God? Actually, what's happening is you're casting bread before dogs. And this is what this verse of scripture is saying, because the things that you're saying, they are holy. A lot of people won't even receive them at times. They think it's absolutely ridiculous. So Jesus is saying here concerning dogs, give not that which is holy unto dogs. Now the things that is which is holy is the word of God. And the bread is making reference to him, for he is holy. Now, Psalms 22, verse 16 is another interesting statement concerning dogs. It says, verse 16 through 20, it says, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked. Now, there's a key within Scripture. There's four books in the Bible that unlock the metaphorical language in the Bible. They are Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastics, and the Psalm of Solomon. Somebody says, well, where'd you get that from? I got that from an individual named David Taylor who was taken to heaven, and the Lord talked to him about studying to show yourself approved, the workman, and need not be ashamed. And when he was in this visitation, the Lord told him that within these four books, they unlocked the Bible concerning metaphorical language. So when you wanted to know what dogs are all about, go to either Proverbs, Psalms, Song of Solomon, or Ecclesiastics, and you'll find out what they are. Psalms 22 tells you what it is. It's the assembly of the wicked. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Now, this is interesting. This statement arrested Jesus. Watch the next verse. They pierced my hands and my feet. Now, this woman was a dog and she was making statements. But in Scripture here, you find out it's the world, the wicked. They pierced my hands and my feet. Now, this whole few verses is concerning his crucifixion. It's concerning the breaking of his body. When you break bread, bread produces crumbs when you break it. Things in Scripture that are broke, that are pierced, that are whipped, all pertain to Jesus' suffering. And we find about she wanted just to eat crumbs. Well, crumbs come from bread. It's either being eaten, it's fallen, or somebody breaking it. So the picture here is his crucifixion. This is why this statement arrested Jesus. This woman had some revelation. Like I said, she caught on faster than the Israelites did. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots. Who are they? The assembly of the wicked. Verse 19. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. This is Jesus' cry unto the Father. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dogs. This is interesting. Now the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:12 makes this statement. Beware of dogs. Now, when you're reading the Bible, sometimes people just read over this stuff and say, I don't know why he made that statement. Why did he make that statement? Within that statement, there's revelation. Beware of dogs. And he goes on to say, beware of evil workers. Now, Paul is telling you what the dogs are, evil workers. It harmonizes with the psalmist in the 22nd Psalm where he says, the assembly of the wicked. Beware of dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the concession. So we're establishing the fact that dogs are represented by the wicked, the assembly. In the scripture here, she's a Greek, she's a Gentile. Like I said, she's alienated from the covenant of promise. She's in the world without hope and without God. The Israelites had the Abrahamic covenant. Jesus was sent to minister to the lost sheep of Israel. And his desire was that they first be filled. Salvation's to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Now let's see what the scripture has to say about the table. Remember, we had dogs in this verse. There's a table, there's bread, and there's crumbs. Now Exodus 25:30 says this about, we're centering in on the table. And it says, "And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always." Now this is talking about the tabernacle. Moses is writing this in Exodus, and it's about the table that was in the holy place where the priest would go in, and it sat before the veil of the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God sat upon the mercy seat. This statement is indicating that this showbread was always before the Father's eyes. It sat before the veil. When the priest would go in there to minister, there was always a reminder of the bread. And the bread sat upon a table. Now in Psalm 78, verses 18 through 20, this is interesting about the table. And it says, "And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Now, this is the Israelites after they come out of Egypt. They're wandering 40 years in the wilderness. And the psalmist is saying this, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock." Now, here's a picture of the crucifixion. "He smote the rock." Jesus is the rock. That rock followed the Israelites and provided water. "He smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also?" Notice the table is associated with bread. And he goes on to say, "Can he provide flesh for his people?" And the answer is yes. You find out in the picture of the Old Testament, manna was rained down upon them, and they were commanded to go out and pick it up. It was their daily bread. You read in the Lord's Prayer, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." Now, I'm going to tie this all together. I'm just laying a foundation here. Now, Psalms 23, verses 5 and 6 says this. Now, this is the dispensation we're in. The 22nd psalm that we read was concerning Jesus' crucifixion. The 23rd psalm depicts Jesus as the Lord our shepherd. We do not want. It starts out in verse 1. "For he makes us to lie down in green pasture. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul." It's all about the good shepherd. The 22nd psalm is all about the sufferings of Christ in the crucifixion. Then you read in the 24th chapter of Psalms, it's about the soon coming king. And who is this king? It's talking about the resurrecting King of Kings and Lord of Lords who's soon to come. But right now in the 23rd psalm, it encompasses the whole world if the whole world would come to him and make him Lord of their lives. They can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I do not want." But in verse 5, it says here, it goes on and says, "Thou preparest the table." Notice that the table was prepared before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, Jesus said, "Let the children first be filled." They didn't realize this, that there was a table set before them. But this woman did. "The dogs even eat the crumbs, Lord." How'd she get it? I don't know how she got that revelation. "The dogs even eat the crumbs."
So you find out in the presence of our enemies, God has set a table. Thou anointeth my head with oil. That's a type of the Holy Spirit. My cup runneth over. That's the cup of blessing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The bread is encompassed in all the goodness and mercy of God, all the promises of God. Paul talks in Romans 8:32 that God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely and graciously give us all other things? The loaf of bread has been given. And Jesus wanted the Israelites to be filled. They weren't. She cries out for crumbs. Now, let's see what Paul says in the New Testament about the table. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. He says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord. Remember the 23rd song, my cup overflows. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. The cup of the Lord is blessings. The cup of the devils is cursings. You find it in Deuteronomy 28 about the blessings of Abraham. And if they were obedient to God, all these blessings would come on them and overtake them. Then it went into the cursings because of disobedience. And when you get into the area of disobedience, you are partaking of the cup of devils. The cup of the Lord is the cup of blessing. And he goes on to say, you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Now that's interesting. What's on the Lord's table is the bread of life. And like I said, that encompasses the blessings of God. The table of devils is all the cursings. And he says here, you can't partake of both of them. So there has to be a decision that's made. Will you partake of the Lord's table? The 23rd Psalm says he has prepared a table for you. The problem is, the children won't come and eat. Now let's go to John, and we're going to talk about the bread. When I was preparing this, there's so many accounts within Scripture. It would be just a message in itself to just to read the Scriptures and see all these truths. We're going to talk about the bread right now in John chapter 6, verse 31 through 35. It says this, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. All right, that's the key. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven. In other words, they were thinking that Moses did it. It was God that released the bread. But they had their focus on Moses. And Jesus says, it wasn't Moses that gave you the bread. Then he goes on to say, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Now, when this woman made the statement, in verse 27, after she made the statement that it is not meet, Jesus made the statement, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs, she said, truth, Lord. Now it says here, but my Father gives you the true bread. Now Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When you read this and see this in the account, truth is capitalized and Lord is capitalized. It is making a statement, a prophetic statement that, Lord, the statement's true. You are true. Truth, Lord. He is the true bread from heaven. Verse 33 says then, for the bread of God is he. Now, who was she seeking? Jesus. The true bread is he, and all she wanted was the crumbs. For the true bread is he, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, forevermore give us this bread. You'll be living on the bread of life for eternity, forever. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We've seen there in Psalm 78 when we read that God cleft the rock to cause water to run out of the rock, to satisfy their thirst. He rains manna down to satisfy their hunger. Both of them are a picture of Jesus, water and bread. Now let's go to Luke 16. Now, the other thing we had in this statement of hers was crumbs. Luke 16, 19. Now, remember what the saying is here. She said, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. So God's desire is the children eat the bread that's provided on the table. Now, Luke 16, we're going to read something very interesting here, and we're going to center in on crumbs. Now, before I start this account here, I want to say something. There's two individuals. There's a rich man, and there's a beggar. Both of them are Jews. And I'll prove this through this account. Verse 19, we'll start there. It says here, when a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple, in fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. The Amplified says, he did this every day, like he was something. He dressed, he was wealthy, and he just flared. The pride of life is actually what the Bible says. Look what I have. Okay? Now remember, he's a Jew. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, broke and diseased, thrown every day at this rich man's gate. Verse 21 says, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. I hope this is starting to register to you. Desire to be filled from the crumbs from the rich man's table. Now, this rich man obviously had substance. He was blessed. And he was well fed. This beggar is also a Jew who's broke, not entering into the blessings of Abraham, and sick in body. Actually, the Amplified says he had ulcerated sores all over his body. And you'll find out here, and the dogs came and licked him. Now that's interesting. And verse 22 says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels. Now this is why I'm telling you these people were Jews. And was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Under the old covenant, Abraham's bosom was the holding place for the Old Testament saints. When they died, they went to Abraham's bosom, which was beneath the earth. It's actually it's part of Hades. It was a compartment where the departed spirits who had a promissory note concerning Jesus, when they left their bodies at death, they were held in Abraham's bosom. Abraham was there. The place had no torment to it. Now, this account is mostly shared in the body of Christ concerning hell and Abraham's bosom. But I think there's so much revelation in what we're studying here today. And it says here, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, this is making reference to the rich man, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. Now there was a dividing, a great chems between Abraham's bosom and the suffering part of hell. But they could literally see one another. And you find out here they were able to talk to one another. You find out that the rich man was in torment. Lazarus was being comforted. So this rich man sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus was in his bosom. Now this is why I'm saying Lazarus was a Jew. He wasn't alienated from the covenants of promise, but he was ignorant of the bread that was on the table. He desired to be fed crumbs from somebody who was eating the good of the land, the rich man. But the Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world not to be high-minded, but to put their trust in God. You'll find out why this man lost his salvation. It was because of his pride. All the beggar got was crumbs. The guy was well able to sustain the man. Now verse 24 says this, and he cried, this is the rich man crying, and said, Father Abraham. Now this is why I says he's a Jew. He's acknowledging that Abraham was his father. In Scripture, the Jews always referred to Abraham, our father. In Scripture, Abraham's called the father of our faith. This rich man's acknowledging Abraham, Father. Have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now this is interesting. But Abraham said, Son. I'm establishing the fact that these two are Jews. I'm laying a foundation to come to a point. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth. Now this is a key here. In thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. Now this rich man started out right. The key word is here, he received the blessings of God. In thy lifetime receiveth thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. He received evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now the key word here is receiveth. The beggar didn't receive anything. The beggar was ignorant of his covenant. The rich man wasn't. That's why he was rich. But the rich man got to be high-minded. He wouldn't even give this guy anything. It was begging. Every day he was dropped at his gate. Every day, the Bible says, and he amplified, he was just dropped. You mean that rich man didn't know that guy was out there? I'm sure the dogs barked enough licking his sores. But he didn't give him anything. And he just begged for crumbs. And the key here is both of them received something. One received blessings, the other received cursing. And I believe it's because of a lack of knowledge or a lack of understanding. Like I said to you, where you go to church could cost you your life if you're not fed the bread from heaven concerning healing and health. Now, verse 26 says this, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. That's the gems I was talking about. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father. This is the second time he mentions Abraham as his father. Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. They're Jews too. Remember, Jesus came to minister to the lost sheep of Israel. There's a lot of Jews that were lost. They had the covenant, but they were lost. His desire that they be filled first. Verse 28, for I have five brothers, that he, that's Lazarus, may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Now, this is another scripture that proves that they were Jews. Moses and the prophets were read on the Sabbath day only to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. Establishing the fact that these two were Jews. One received good things and one received evil things. The reason the one received evil things, if you don't know your covenant rights, you'll receive evil things because the devil will beat you into the ground. And if you don't come to the table of the Lord, you're partaking of the table of the devil. That's what Paul said here. And on the table of the Lord encompass all the blessings of God and all the benefits. But you have to come to the table and eat. It has been prepared for you. Verse 29, and Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Now watch what he says. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, there's a third time. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Wrong. Wrong. Now watch the response from Abraham. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses, and if they hear not the prophets, and I'm going to add this, and if they hear not Jesus, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. My whole point in this is getting back to the testimony. You didn't forget that testimony, did you? There was great rejoicing. And when I was preparing this, I heard the Spirit of God say that many come and are fed fragments or crumbs. But it takes the constant eating of the bread. Crumbs will sustain you for a while. This poor man was sustained for a while. The rich man received the blessings because he was walking in the light of the covenant until pride came in. And that's why the scriptures warns about the rich. The Apostle Paul writes about it. Jesus wrote about it. James wrote about it. Charge them that are rich in this world that they not be high-minded. So both of these individuals receive something. Now getting back to the testimony, the individual that we ministered to basically came and was fed crumbs. Crumbs will get you a miracle. But crumbs will not sustain you. Lazarus died. It's a picture. It's a prophetic picture. He died. He died naturally. You'll die spiritually if you're not continually fed the bread. Crumbs will get you a miracle. Crumbs will sustain you for a while, but it's He, the true bread, that you're constantly filled with. So what we have to come to realize is each individual, getting back to our foundation scripture there in Job, you shall decide and decree a thing. It's up to you. It's up to you to come to the table that's been prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. That enemy could be sickness and disease. The Bible says, Paul writes this, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? Well, if you don't come to the table, the one who's on your side is sitting there in a picture of bread. You have to come and begin to eat of it. That's taking His promises. And the way you eat is with your mouth. Getting back to the saying, those two individuals, the centurion and this woman here, statements. Two statements where Jesus said, great is thy faith. Because of two statements they made, because of the revelation that they had. And that's where your success lies, is when this becomes a revelation to you. And you've come to the table and you've been eating of the bread and you see it. And you see the benefits and you see how good God is. And you see that He's prepared a table before the presence of sickness and disease. Because sickness and disease is an oppression of the devil. The devil is the evil one. He is the enemy. And the bread of heaven will heal you. But you have to come to the table and eat. And realize the fact that the table has been set. And you don't satisfy, you shouldn't be satisfied with crumbs. You want the whole deal. The whole thing. The whole thing. And I'm going to close with this. In this statement, He also said, I didn't share this one scripture here and I want to get it. It's 1 Corinthians 10 verses 16 and 17. This is so good. It says this, the cup of blessing which we bless. That's the cup of blessing. That's why I said before that the cup that's overflowing is referring to the cup of blessing. This is how you interpret things that are said in Bible. What do other scriptures say about it? Paul says here, the cup of blessing is the cup of blessing. That cup that overflows is the cup of blessing. It just keeps overflowing and overflowing. Which we bless, it is the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break. Now, when you break bread, it produces crumbs. When we break the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread. Here's a loaf right here. Here's another loaf. Here's another loaf. Here's another loaf, another loaf, another loaf. If you're a born-again child of God, you are a loaf of bread. And when you go out in the world and you begin to preach, you're throwing forth crumbs. You following me? Because you're bread. The reason you're bread is because Christ is in you. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Who is Christ? I am He, the bread of heaven. Guess what? You're a loaf. You're a loaf. Then He goes on to say, and I'll read it again. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of one bread. I got to share this testimony. Last healing service, I went to work the next day. I went over and I was in the hotel room and I was waking up about 3 hours. When I woke up, my eye hurt so bad. That's what woke me up. So I go to the mirror in the hotel room. I look in the mirror and it's all red. All the white is red. And in this, it was this side of the left eye. And in the center of this eye, there was like a clot. And I said, boy, that looks bad. So that's the reason it woke me up, because it really hurt. So I prayed.
I prayed right there. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking to heal my eye. He said in your word, what things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. I'm asking you now, and I believe I received, and I made this confession. Lord, you're my physician. You're in me now. You're in me now, healing my left eye now, this clot and this redness. I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. I went down and I had some breakfast and I was still tired because I only slept for about 3 hours because I was woken because of the pain in my eye. I decided to go back to bed. When I looked in the mirror, most of the red was gone. I fell asleep. When I woke up, my eye was completely white. And if you'd have seen my eye, you would have thought somebody sucker punched me and gave me, ruptured something in my eye. And I don't know how I did it. I just woke up and it was hurting like heck. But I wanted to share that. But I also wanted to share this. Somebody says, well, why did that manifest so fast with you like that? And I'm struggling with some things. Well, one thing was I had been feeding on the bread of heaven. I was preparing for these healing services and going over scripture after scripture after scripture and just feeding myself. I feed myself when I prepare these lessons. I had no idea any of this was going to come out. I even told my wife, she says, how's the lesson going? I said, I hit a brick wall. Did I say that to you? I said, she says, what do you mean? I says, I got a part of it. But when I read Lazarus, I seen the whole thing. Now, getting back to the individual got healed when we prayed for, the man was being fed crumbs. The only real healing that they had in the church is when she ministered. The pastor didn't spend a whole lot of time ministering along the lines of healing. He got a miracle, but the miracle didn't last because he wasn't sustained by the bread. I hope you got something out of this because I did. Amen. I'll close here. We got a service start in 1 minute. Praise God. Amen.